It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
The Grilling Guys.
Good morning. Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and all over this great state and country of America. We're out here talking a little barbecue today and going to have a little bit of fun. Bam, Bob. Gone. September. October right around the corner. There's our deer hunting season's coming, baby.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And there is a bit of a nip in the air.
Yes, there is. Yeah,
I like that.
I do, too.
This, you know, just coming out this morning, there was some fog and, you know,
right.
It's like, I love this time of year because yep. I know that I get to start climbing in trees.
Right.
I've been practicing with my Bowtech and you know what I found out?
What's that?
I had to detune it a little bit. 72 pounds has just been harder every year to pull back.
Well, sure.
I'm getting old.
Right.
And
right.
I haven't been hitting the gym, so I'm weak. So I detuned it just enough. It's still a bit of a struggle, but the more I pull it, the better I'm getting. And
yeah.
And I just got to probably start doing some push-ups or yeah. something.
Well, and just make sure you practice because when you do that, it's going to shoot a little different than you than maybe where your pins are and stuff.
Yeah, too. And I probably pulled about 5 pounds off it. So yeah. it's still seems to be right on the money. I haven't noticed.
Yeah,
but,
right.
That was what my buddy Scott was concerned about. And I just because I'm only shooting 25 to 35 yards, I think it was so fast at 72 that 65 or whatever I'm at now, I have no way of telling. But
it feels better.
Yeah,
right.
I'm after we get out of here, I'm headed up to Whipple with my chainsaw and my trailer and my tent, and I'm gonna get deer camp set up in advance of all the boys showing up. So
yeah,
looking forward to that. But you and our illustrious producer Conrad
Bubba.
From time to time have had kind of fun when I bring up some of my prepper things. And I think you might see in the next couple of weeks, I wasn't preparing for this, but you can just smell there's something wrong in this country. And now what we've got Tuesday is the longshoreman strike.
Right.
And I think you're going to see way more from that than anybody is anticipating because of all the things brought on shore. One of them being fuel oil. I mean, crude oil, because we've gone to outsourcing so much again. And I think it's going to have an absolute devastating effect on our day-to-day functions. So I don't know. I have no crystal ball, but you know, if you've ever had the inkling to be a little bit of a prepper, might be the time to do that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yep. The longshoremen are the guys that unload boats, right?
All of them.
Right. Exactly. Right. On all coasts. And I don't know, is it one coast or the other, or are they all in solidarity and going to strike on both coasts?
I do not know that. I simply had that brought into my radar, and I started thinking about it, and I thought, yeah, what else do I need?
Yeah. Well, it's really like three coasts because they come through the Gulf too.
Absolutely.
Not east and west, but
absolutely.
They come into the Gulf. So,
and if you've ever been on any of the coasts and worked on those docks or around those, I mean, those are huge operations.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge.
Right.
The amount of cargo that goes through is. And then when you think about the fuel, I think most of the oil comes into Louisiana.
Right. Yep.
And Mississippi. And that comes up, I don't know. I don't know how it's done, yeah, but Texas.
Looks like it's mainly the East Coast.
Okay.
From Texas all the way up to Maine.
Well, that's
all the oil.
that's half of the country.
I don't worry about food.
Yeah.
Number one, because I have a wonderful pantry. But number two, because I don't think we import as much food, especially on that coast, although the Netherlands probably ship us a fair amount, but I guess, I don't know. I my radar has been going nuts for a couple of years, and right now it's 360. It's just pinging all the time, and I'm not trying to fearmonger, but gosh, if you get caught with your pants down, it's your own fault.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Word to the wise right there. Yeah. So let's bring this back to a grilling guy conversation at home. Something that's really more important than that is I got a Halloween party to cater.
That's more important.
I'm kidding, of course. But I have a Halloween party to cater. And
what are you going as?
What I am going
Fred Flintstone?
No, I'm going as Chef Jop. And, you know, and I've got one of those little black hats.
I see you going as like Fred Flintstone and the water buffalo hat. Yeah. And because well, you're the grand poobah at the Moose,
it's kind
you?
Of.
Are you
no,
at the Moose?
No, I have nothing to do. I am a member of the Moose, but I have nothing to do with
you. Don't have
the
a
place.
Helmet?
No, I'm not the official anything there. I'm rarely a patron.
That would still be a good one for
right.
you.
Right. But it's kind of like a tailgate for me. I mean, I want it to be easy to eat food. We're inside a building. So it's a Halloween party. It is full costumes mandatory kind of thing. So I don't want anything that's too terribly messy. People in costumes are oftentimes a little awkward because of something different that they may be wearing.
And, you know, since MSU went to forcing all Fox catering at all those tailgates, we lost those gigs.
Right.
I miss those things.
Yeah, I know it.
We did some fantastic. There's your menu right there. Just
well, let's talk
just
a little
go back
bit about
and
it because it
up,
is tailgating season,
just
too.
Go back and pull up everything we did for Wells Fargo every year. I mean, that was the best tailgating I've ever seen anywhere.
Right. Yep. So
because we did it.
Yeah. So they're fundamentally going to start out with, he told me I want, this is a really technical term, a crap load of chicken wings. So we'll be doing chicken wings, and I'll pre-make those. I've got a couple, because it's inside a building, I had a couple double ovens that I can reheat and sauce with, so I've got that done. But
so that building is one you did an event in before?
Yeah, 4th of July.
The double ovens, does it have convection?
Yes, and it's a complete kitchen that I've got to work in.
Okay, killer. So for your wings, I've got an idea.
I don't need ideas. I'm done with the wings. I want other ideas.
I want
other things for what do we make with the wings.
But if you have a convection, it's just nice way to finish them.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah. They're going to be unsauced. I'll sauce them there, throw them in the convection, crisp them up. And
perfect.
We're good. Yep. So what else do you think would be good? Knowing, again, I try to always understand my audience. Somebody's going to have an awkward costume on. They're going to come as this and that with a husband and wife. And I don't want them to have to like fuss with food. I want it easy to eat. I was thinking maybe jalapeno poppers. We've done those in the past but it's kind of like ordinary.
Yeah.
So what on a stick? What can I do on a stick?
You know, something I saw that was very, you're not going to have a grill there?
I can. Yes. He's got one if I need it.
Something I think is really cool is when you wrap bacon around asparagus stalks.
Yep.
Because the presentation is just gorgeous and people love bacon. And they'll even eat asparagus if they don't like it, if there's bacon wrapped around it.
I had that this summer. Somebody brought that to my house, but they did it with prosciutto. They put bacon and Parmesan, or not bacon, excuse me, prosciutto, Parmesan around the
asparagus
and then grilled it.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was good too. But that's a good one. That's a good one. So, but again, you pick it up. If it's cooked a little bit, it's going to get soft. It can fall around.
So the wings will be really popular.
Yep, kebabs. What should I do for a kebab? We've done beef before.
Yeah, I would stick to beef because you're already going to do chicken.
Right.
And, I mean, people just or get some lamb, do some real kebabs.
Yeah, that's out there a little bit for the average person. You know
what
I mean?
Don't tell them. They'll love it.
Right, yeah, yeah, right. So what about sliders? We've always done some sliders. What do you think for the meat on a slider? Again, wanting to keep it grilling guy, I could smoke turkey.
You know what?
I could smoke
You know
turkey.
What I would do? I'd get a hold of Sobey, and I would get that shaved prime rib that he sells, and I would do that up on site. Just flash it real quick and do prime ribs. You know, they're like Philly beef.
Right.
You could even bring some cheddar and do kind of a Philly slider prime rib.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be nice on those buns from Wealthy Street Bakery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Really good.
Oh, God, I'm getting hungry.
So I can do kebabs. I can do little sliders. It seemed like, did we ever do meatballs of any kind? Or didn't we grill some meatballs once
everybody
in a while?
Everybody does meatballs.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to pop. And I would, myself, if I was doing it, I would have three big things.
Right.
And just stick with that. Yep. And, you know, maybe have a bunch of little sides.
Right. Well, coming up next, we're speaking of popping, your bobber goes down, you better jerk, because we're going to do some steelhead fishing coming up. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Bob, you got a buddy on the line that knows a little bit about river fishing, so we had him join us, right?
That's right. This is Joshua Geertz, and I've known this guy since he was, I'd say came up to my elbow. He was always a good kid, and he's turned into a fine young man. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Josh is the epitome of the ultimate sportsman. He just and he's got the perfect girlfriend who tolerates it and loves to do it with him. So he's set himself up quite nicely. But I ran into him a year ago or so. Josh, welcome to the show. And where was that I ran into you?
Oh, geez.
That
Bob,
store.
Would that have been at the Outdoorsman?
Yes, the Outdoorsman. Thank you.
Okay.
Tell us where that is.
So the Outdoorsman is in Jenison, Michigan, off Baldwin.
Yes.
In the Baldwin Plaza.
So here's the deal, Jop. I was actually looking for strawberries, and I was seeking out strawberry farms. And I saw this pizza shop down the street, so I went and ordered a pizza, and they told me 25 minutes. So I took a little cruise, and I saw this sportsman shop, and it said ammo. And I thought, oh, I need some buckshot. So I went in there, and son of a gun, if this guy wasn't in there, and it had been so long since I'd seen him, he's grown into a full-size man.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about Steelies. Let's take a guy who maybe has gone out for Steelies once or twice, but maybe doesn't. How does he get set up? What should he be doing right now to get ready?
Well, you know, Bob, there's a lot of ways that one could target steelhead, and especially early season, as these steelhead are just coming in, they're following the salmon up. There's eggs in the system from the spawning salmon. Typically, that's where those steelhead are going to congregate, and that can be any river system. If there is kings on gravel, there's kings actively spawning. There's eggs in the system, and that is what those steelhead are coming into our rivers targeting.
Okay, so some primary rivers might be like the White, the Pier Marquette, the Betsy, the Platte.
Muskegon.
Yep.
Manistee.
Yep. All of those listed. The Grand can be a good one.
Really?
The St. Joe, Kalamazoo. It's pretty much most systems that will maintain or can hold migratory fish that come up from Lake Michigan.
Is it safe to say the ones up north are going to do it a little earlier?
Typically, you'll see a couple more stragglers in those systems due to the colder water temps. But for the most part, this time of year, where the salmon run is starting to deplete, that is where you see the steelhead come up. So you'll see steelhead here in the Grand. You'll see them in the Kalamazoo at roughly the same time that you'd start to see them even up north.
So what would be a technique and a bait that somebody would want to use if they know they're hunting those spawn? You're going to want to go with spawn sacks, aren't you?
Well, with that being said, there's a lot of different ways a guy could go out and throw an egg presentation. You know, there's flies that guys will fly fish and use that are meant to be an egg presentation. There's guys that'll bottom bounce either with spawn or other egg-like presentations, whether it be a yarn ball or a bead, which is quickly becoming very popular. There's float fishing. Guys will float under bobbers with spawn bags or beads, you know, as more visual indicator on when you get a strike. Guys will use moving baits too. Like I said, those early season steelhead, although they're eating little micro salmon eggs, they're also willing to bite crankbaits and things like spinners and streamers as well.
Now, spinners are a little tough in the rivers, though.
Yeah, spinners can be. They definitely love to find logs.
Yes.
But the upside on a spinner, in my eyes anyway, is that you can cover a lot of water, right? Because you can fish all water from where your cast ends to the rod tip on the way in on retrieval, right? So you can cover a ton of water. And like I said, you know, there's not a ton of those early season steelhead that come in. So sometimes covering as much water as you can every single cast you make can be more beneficial.
So for the beginner on spawn, would you say that floating a bobber is going to be one of the easier ways to do it?
Yes and no. I mean, it depends on the setup for the most part, but a bobber is a great, great way to A, cover a lot of water, and B, stay out of those pesky snags near the bottom.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network on Jethro and, of course, WBRN. And we're talking to Joshua Geertz, and he is a longtime fisherman, a trusted man. Tell us the name of that sporting shop you work at a little bit.
Yeah, the Outdoorsman Pro Shop.
Yeah. Do they have any guides that could help somebody, maybe if somebody just said, gosh, we want to take two or three guys up, let's just hire somebody the first time so we can learn this?
Yes.
Okay.
His name is Brett Feenstra.
Okay. So go into that shop?
Go into the shop, give us a call, look us up on Facebook. It's a great way. Taking a trip is a great way to see kind of how different techniques are done to catch steelhead. You know, the average guy can sit there and watch YouTube all day long, can talk on forums, can be on Facebook, and spend a lot of time and do a lot of research and still go out on the river frustrated when the day is over. And I do firmly believe that those trips eliminate a little bit of that, because you're actually out there seeing how it's done. And Brett is a great guy. We have a ton of fun, and
nice.
He's a phenomenal fisherman.
And a set of waders would be a great thing to have, because I see a lot of guys trying to do it from the bank, and there's just not those few spots where you can fish from the bank. There's already five guys there.
Yes.
And test your waders if you haven't used them in a while. I can attest to that personally.
Right.
I tried mine this spring.
Yeah.
And I got wet in minutes.
And always remember, stay on the shallow side of the river, because those things have a big hole in the bottom. And speaking of bobbers, you don't want to be one, right? So be careful out there, because that can get away from you quick if you get wet. But, yeah, a lot of fun, though. I mean, and why Steelies? Because they're incredibly put up an unbelievable fight, jump, and all that other stuff when you hook one.
And they smoke up so nicely.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they
not
do.
Only smoke up, that's something you can fillet and skin and cube it up, bread it in Progresso breadcrumbs, and throw it in a deep fryer and have the best. Now, there's a treat for your tailgate
right there,
Halloween party.
Right,
yeah. Go catch some steelhead, Joppy.
Right, yeah, between now and now and the end of October, I probably could if I get out there. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway,
What other tips do you have?
Just have fun with it. You know, go into it with an open mind. Definitely go out into whatever area you are targeting and make sure you go out with the right tools. Make sure you talk with the right guys. Just be well equipped. And I always tell people when I talk to them at the shop, you know, bring the whole menu.
All right,
bring
Josh, thanks so much. We're out of time. Just great to talk to you, pal, and I hope to see you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Bob.
Joshua Geertz, thank you.
All right, coming up next, we're going to do a little rib work. You're not going to want to miss this one. There's some good tips there. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Man, I haven't been steelhead fishing in years. That would be a lot of fun. And Josh Geertz there is an expert. So it's just good to talk with him. But bringing it back in, it's tailgate season. And one of the fun things to do that you can prep ahead and bring with you is a set of ribs, right? You don't have to cook them that day. You can warm them up and just make it really good, whether it's deer camp or wherever you are. So we want to talk a little bit about ribs. Bob, prepping the ribs, if we do, I would say probably most people do baby backs, right, or spares. Those are both pork. But right. So they might have a better handle on that. But the one that is also very good are beef ribs. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the baby backs first, and then maybe if we got a minute, we can touch on beef ribs, because I think it's a different process. But how do we prep a set of baby backs?
Well, you said tailgating, right. So let's put ourselves at a tailgate and okay. Say we're going to go out and we're going to, or like your Halloween party that you're
right
not dressing up for.
Right. Oh, you don't know.
Yeah. Hope you wear something. So if I'm going to do groups like that, And like we've done this at Man Camp at the church steak thing, it's nice to take the ribs and cut them into single sections.
Yep.
Because now you're not cutting them at a table, at a tailgate, you know, on the spot. They're already all cut up. It's nice to bring something out and just set it out and let people have at it, because they're going to be impatient.
Right.
They're going to be dying to see it.
Right.
And if you cut them in advance, you're going to have a beautiful little piece that's smoked and seasoned on all sides. Because if you're cutting them on the spot, the side you're cutting, sure, you get to see the smoke layers and everything, but you're not getting any seasoning on the side. So if you have baby backs in particular, this is the best technique for baby backs. Strip that skin off the back, use a butter knife and some paper towel, and get that membrane off the back of the rib. Why I say baby back is because baby back have this incredible chunk of meat that's up close to the loin. The top of that rib is really fat. And if you smoke it to perfection, it's fine. But if you over smoke it slightly, it's fallen off your stick.
Yeah.
And it's in your lap or on your wife's blouse or, right. You know, then you got to lick the sauce off.
Oh, somebody's got to do it, but
you had to go there,
right? Yeah. So the ribs. So then you're not cutting in like in a two bone or a three bone portion. You're going individual bones, and you're going to smoke them, cut up. So you cut them up raw, and then throw them on the smoker.
Right. Cut them up, rub them, smoke them, or bake them. If you don't have a smoker, just bake them. It's okay.
Right. But the where I'm going is that this might be what we're onto here is if you don't have as much time as you'd normally like, I got to believe that these are going to cook a lot quicker that when they're on the bone, but the, all four sides are exposed, right?
Could be. I you know, I've never really paid attention to the timing that way, but that makes sense. What I like is just not having to try and cut them after they're cooked because I usually destroy them, especially
right.
if I'm not paying attention and get them a little more done than I want to, or if I get them as done as my wife wants them to be, which is falling off the bone,
right?
Which goes against my training.
Right. I like them when there's a little tug. It stays on the bone. You can pick it up. It won't fall off. You take the bite and you tug a little bit. It still comes off the bone clean, but it didn't fall off the bone. They're just easier to eat that way, and they say, I believe, they're a little more moist, if that's the case. And that's what I'd wonder about with the individual bones, Bob, is will they stay moist for it? Again, I think it's all about just not overcooking.
Yeah, they're
them.
Just great that way. And you're going to glaze them with some sauce or something at the end if you want to mist them with some apple juice or apple cider. It's that time of year when you can get apple cider everywhere.
Right.
And you could even make your own barbecue sauce from apples.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite barbecue sauces in the fall is an apple-based barbecue sauce.
And if you want to cheat, just go to Gordon's and buy that Masterpiece base barbecue sauce. And it's just really, it's just basic barbecue sauce. It doesn't have a profile. You can take that and cook up a bunch of apples and combine the two and then take your immersion blender and make yourself a beautiful apple barbecue sauce or anything, Memphis.
Yeah. Sobey has carries a couple different brands of already made apple barbecue sauce if you wanted those.
And it doesn't have to be apple. I made I did an event recently, and it was actually last Saturday. We had a company event, a party at one of the manager's houses, and we played beanbag all day.
Right, yeah.
And I made up a Hill Country sauce that people went crazy for.
So what is that?
Well, it's just a you know, something I pulled out of my hat. It was, I called it Hill Country.
Okay.
Don't tell them.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe I just did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, literally, again, that Masterpiece base is so neutral and so nice. Hill Country is going to bring you into a little bit of a poblano jalapeno side, just enough. And, you know, give it a Southwestern flair, whatever you like. But I'm just saying you can take a base sauce like that and add the stuff you like, and people will love it.
Right.
Even if you're a dodo head like
right.
me.
Yep, exactly. So tell me the difference between baby backs and St. Louis ribs.
Well, St. Louis, of course, are the bottom of the rib. And when you buy spare ribs on sale, that's going to have that little piece of flank and belly to it, which you trim off and make a nice straight line so that the St. Louis ribs are very symmetrical. But it's the bottom of the rib. There's not a lot of meat. I happen to like them. It's one you got to be careful with because there's not as much fat either, and you can dry them out real quickly. But that, again, when you're doing a rib, when you see that bone starting to shrink and stick out like a half inch, it's time.
Right.
You've got to put it in a container, put a lid on it, and slow roll it for a little bit with some sauce or whatever you're going to do. Now, Rob and I used to do something we called a Kansas City sticky rib. And what we would do is we would melt butter on the ribs, and then we'd pour honey on it, and then we'd glaze it with a little bit of sweet barbecue sauce, and people went crazy over that. That's a Kansas City sticky.
Wow.
And the honey makes it very sticky, but those are the butters. I mean, it's all your favorite stuff. If you could just get some bacon on there somehow.
Well, it's close to the bacon. Natural. It's just above it, right? That bacon is on the belly, and these are the ribs right above it. So that's good stuff, man. Exactly. So I'm inspired. I think that this little Halloween party with them cut up, like you talked about, I think that's a game changer for me because I don't have to pull apart ribs. I just pick one up and I can eat it. And I would assume they're going to be cut with one side's going to have the meat and the other side's right up against the bone.
No, I do it right down the center.
Do you?
If you don't, your meat's going to fall off. Okay. You got to go right perfectly between the ribs and cut them evenly, and then you'll have meat on both sides.
Okay. So then, okay, good. Well, that's a good tip because I'd have done it up against the bone on one side and put all the meat on the other.
You might get away with it, but what I found is when it starts shrinking, it's pulling away from the bone and you're only attached on three sides.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. So we know when they're done, when the bone's starting to be a little bit exposed, it's really difficult to use a thermometer on ribs. There's not a lot of meat between them. But I would still recommend a quick read thermometer. What's the temperature that I want to make sure those ribs are at just to make sure they're done?
Never done it.
No? Nope. Haven't done it? No. I got to believe it's about 160, 165.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they're done.
The rib has its own built-in temperature probe.
Right. And what is that?
It's the bone.
Right. And you're going to see it.
When you see a half inch sticking out, you know you're there.
Okay.
And then you can, of course... Any good chef, any good barbecue grilling guy is going to take one and try it. And if it's not quite ready, put it in the pan, sauce it, throw it in the oven for, you know, like 190 for an hour, half hour, and you'll be there.
Right.
Oh, I love this segment. Oh, this is my favorite segment of all the years I've been with the grilling guys.
Yeah, this is...
Ribs, I love them.
Ribs are good. Ribs are
good. Well, next week I'll bring you some.
All right, there you go.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to, the fall is in the air again. We're going to talk to a guy from Henry Repeating Arms. Bob and I both have Henry rifles, and you're going to want one too. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Little snap in the air, and hunting season is right around the corner. Here we are at the end of September. October opens it up for Bob and I. More Bob than me, honestly. But when we are thinking about hunting, we're thinking about our weapons. What do you got going on today, Bob?
We have a gentleman from Henry Repeating Arms. His name is Dan Clayton Luce. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Well, it's always good to talk to anybody from Henry, and you've picked up the torch for Anthony, and that's very cool. He's a hard guy to get a hold of a lot of times, and you're much easier.
He's a busy man, and I'm not, so
yeah. I bet you are. That facility, at least the one in New Jersey that I was at, is that's an absolute just machine that cranks out just beautiful lever action weapons. And I follow you guys on Twitter and Facebook and all over the place. And every time I see your ads, it's like, oh, I want that one. Oh, I want that one. So tell us about some new things Henry has.
Yeah. So actually, just in the last couple of weeks here, we have made even more new product announcements, which is great. One of which is a shotgun, a single shot, 410 bore, specifically for turkey hunting. So what I mean by that is, you know, it's got a 410 TSS, which is a tungsten shot shell, has a choke in it, specifically made for that load, and it's dressed, you know, from buttstock to muzzle in Mossy Oak original bottom lane camo.
Nice.
So it's a really great trim, lightweight, super reliable 410 shotgun for turkey hunters that either want a little bit of a challenge, you know, using 410, or maybe first timers. A really neat little package for the dedicated turkey hunter.
Have you taken that out? Have you taken that out turkey hunting yet?
No, I have not myself, but you know, I got my sights set on spring turkey season.
Nice. Yeah, you sound like you have a passion for turkey. What else do you have?
Well, we also have the Golden Boy revolver, which we just announced alongside that shotgun. And basically, this is a 10-shot, 22-long rifle revolver that makes a perfect companion to our Golden Boy rifle, which is, you know, one of the most popular 22-lever action rifles in the entire world. And now we have a revolver companion for it. So it's really, you know, a hand in glove sort of match made in heaven, if you will. You know, to have a lever action rifle 22, you got a revolver 22. Now you can go out to the range and, you know, have one box of ammo and a revolver and a rifle that are eating the same meal, so to speak.
Nice.
And yeah, so we're really excited about that one. They're brand new, just announced last week, and we're excited about it.
So just to be clear, your revolver is a pistol.
Yes. Yep. And we also have a big boy revolver. Looks the same. Two different grip configurations there, so you can kind of choose which one fits your hand better. And that one's in 357 Magnum and 38 Special. So
wow.
A lot of people think of, you know, when they think of Henry, they think lever action rifle, and rightfully so. That's kind of where we planted our flag. But we're growing, like you said. I mean, we're building a lot of guns in New Jersey. We're building a lot of guns in Wisconsin, and kind of starting to expand outside of lever actions. But we've also got some tricks up our sleeve, I guess, for the lever action space too, which you know, we'll have to stay tuned for.
I saw on your site a really cool, I would call it a hog leg, but it looks like a rifle, but it's not much longer than a pistol. It was called a mule something, maybe?
Yeah, the mare's leg.
So mare's
the mare's
leg
is it's technically sold as a pistol. And yeah, it's a lever action pistol, and we do it in all sorts of calibers from 22 up to 45 Colt and 44 Magnum. So it's a unique little firearm, and you know, it's the type of thing that I'm going to take out if, you know, put on the cowboy boots and the hat and go out to the range you know, just have a good time, really, is what it's for.
Yeah. That's, I would want it just to show off. It's just such a cool piece.
Is that what you're calling the axe, the AXE, the axe?
Similar form factor there. What I was just talking about is the mare's leg. That's sold as a pistol. The axe is a 410 firearm that is kind of a similar form factor, but technically, because you know, the rifles the barrel's not rifled, it's not sold as a handgun.
So why do we love Henry so much, and why do we keep having you guys on the show? I mean, we're not a weapons dealer. We don't, you know, we don't get commissions or any, you know, you're not a sponsor, you're not sending us checks. It's because, a lot of things, but number one, you're made in America or nowhere. I love that saying. And number two, Anthony helped us out with a fundraiser we did for the troops. It was called Operation GI Barbecue. He donated some rifles for our auction and our silent auction. And I got to tell you, those rifles drove people to the events. Those drove people to buy tickets because it was the best gift. I mean, we're grilling people, right? We're guys on a grill. We love guns. And when you've got an all-American Henry repeating arm, I mean, I don't know. I'm just a sappy patriotic dope, but I think you guys helped us. We generated around $90,000 in benefits for these troops and had three different troop deliveries. And I got to say, a few Henry rifles just sweetened that pot so much. It's like candy.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear that. I'm thrilled to hear that you all were able to raise so much money and for the troops, and we're, you know, proud to be at least a small part of that.
You were a big part of it, and I got a chance to meet Anthony out in New Jersey at your plant there, and the guy is just a prince, and I'm very endeared to that man and that company of yours for that very reason.
Yeah, Bob. As we're talking, I'm paging through on my phone the dozens and dozens of tribute guns that they make, and that's America, baby. I mean, I'm looking at the Texas Tribute Edition. I'm looking at a military service tribute edition, Second Amendment tribute edition. God bless America. And come on,
and Dan, you said you made one recently for a specialty gun. Tell us about that and how'd that go?
Yeah, so we just recently, or I guess it was this summer, we made 50 custom rifles for this 10-year-old girl in Florida who was going through cancer treatments. And, you know, we've done this a few times, and really there is no more gut-wrenching thing in the world, I think, than a pediatric cancer diagnosis.
Right.
It's unimaginable. So we built 50 custom rifles for this girl. She kind of gave us some direction on the artwork. You know, she wanted to be a dolphin trainer when she grows up. So there's a dolphin on the buttstock. You know, it's engraved and hand painted and everything like that. And then we put them up for sale and auction, and ended up raising over $40,000 for this girl's family to help with medical expenses. So, you know, we try to do that as much as we possibly can. And then, like you were referring to earlier, we have those tribute editions to these constituencies that really are just, you know, kind of the backbone of America. And those are available, you know, at any dealer. Great for Christmas. Maybe we'll have to do a barbecue tribute edition.
Yeah. Well, Dan, we're out of time, but it's just great to get to talk to you again and do it over the airwaves this time.
Likewise.
I look forward to chatting with you again in the future. And if you ever get to the Mitten State, make sure and give me a jingle.
Hopefully my travels take me there.
Okay, sir.
All right, well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Bob, these Henry guns are, just go to the website, HenryUSA, H-E-N-R-Y, HenryUSA.com, and check this out. This is an American company doing great things in America.
And surviving in the onslaught
against
weapons.
Right. But these are classic collector's items. I'm blessed to have one in my gun safe, and I know you do too. So big love affair between the Grilling Guys and Henry Rifles. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.